All right. So good morning to everyone here at New Beginnings Fellowship. Our senior pastor and first lady are out ministering at another church today. I want to welcome all those who are listening via podcast. Today we have the privilege of one of our associate pastors, Justin Boren, who's going to be speaking to us today with a message that God has placed on his heart. So let's give a round of applause and welcome Pastor Justin Boren.
As I prepared for this week, I can tell you, I got a bad case of the moldy grubs, as Pastor Tim would say, because it just seemed as though, spiritually, I was being challenged, but in terms of my flesh, I was being very weak. I chose to get a bad case of the moldy grubs because things in my life weren't going as I planned. Things that I expected to take place for me at my other job, my professional job at my brokerage in Fort Worth, weren't going according to schedule. As you probably know, I'm also a broker in healthcare within corporate America, and right now it's open enrollment. It's like our Super Bowl of healthcare and insurance. I'm fortunate enough to have one of my coworkers here today, Charlie Ellis. Thank you for being here today, Charlie. I appreciate you. I'm also very fortunate to have my mother here today, who is beating her battle against breast cancer. I can share with you that it was me being weak in terms of my flesh because I was choosing to react that way. I was choosing to be a problem that was going to encourage and fester and cause other issues in my life as opposed to being a part of the solution. And it was really interesting whenever I came to that epiphany, because the Lord put it on my heart, is it about you or is it about me? And then all of a sudden, breakthrough. All of a sudden, he humbled me to my knees, and he led me to Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on today in terms of our word, our message, and more so our charge that's been declared in terms of our new covenant through Jesus and where we're going with that as a church brethren right now. We're going to challenge the pews today. We're going to challenge leadership within the pews today because we're all called to be pastors. Amen. And Jesus didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners. When a shepherd is charged with the daunting task of protecting his flock from everything that could come to pass underneath the heavens and above the earth, it's very humbling. It's something that can cause strife and can cause angst. It can also cause fear. And sometimes a shepherd has to make a very hard decision. Sometimes a shepherd might have to do something in terms of having to humble, maybe even hurt, a sheep within his flock to bring that sheep closer to him. Yeah. That way he can protect that sheep. Amen. Shepherds for a long time, when having a sheep that continues to stray from the flock and continues to go away from the path, will break the back hind quarter of that sheep. So that way that sheep is dependent and must lean on that shepherd. Everything that sheep knows has to be in accordance with depending on that shepherd. That sheep has to give everything unto him, that shepherd. Total and complete reverence. Total and complete understanding. total and complete love. Some think it's a hard concept to grasp. But when you think about it, when you think about those things, when you start getting the mully grubs, Lord, I'm hearing your voice. And what we're going to focus today, we're going to focus on voice in terms of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. We're going to be reading out the NIV today. Please turn to John 10, 1 through 3. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Verily, truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his what? His voice. Underline that. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. There's one way to truly have total salvation, total everlasting life, total love life with Christ. You have to accept Christ into your heart. You have to humble yourself and be open whenever He speaks to you, whenever you hear His voice. Whenever He declares Himself present, when He declares Himself supernatural, even if we can't understand it. We're not called to understand it. We're not called to understand everlasting. We're not called to understand eternity. All we're called to do is what the charge has been decreed. Be vessels for Christ's likeness. Be vessels for the gospel in all things. Not to be deterred by the case of the mully grubs when it comes up. When things that you think are supposed to come to pass don't come to pass. That's when He speaks. How do you listen? Listen by following the shepherd. You listen by following that shepherd in and outside of that gate. You know that you are in a safe place. You are in a safe haven. That there is a spiritual awakening that takes place in that area. There's not another way of doing it. The world will tell you that. Religion will tell you that. Man-made ideology will tell you that. Things that have left us in a state of bondage for centuries will tell you, well, this is how it's supposed to be. Based off of this tradition, based off of this custom, based off of this belief, this is what it's supposed to look like. You're going through struggles in life? Well, there must be something you're doing wrong. You're going through struggles in life? Well, let me ask you a very, very easy question. Are the struggles by you? Or the struggles of the world, a fallen world, a fallen idea, a fallen ideology? 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 2-car garage with a pool in the back. Credit card debt to your eyeballs. People in your life that you call friends, that you call helpmates, but they continue to focus on the negative and they don't build you up. They don't instruct you. They don't have the hard conversations with you. They don't check you on a daily basis. Those are the real people that you want to associate yourself with. Link arms with your church brethren. He calls each sheep by name and He knows them. Each and every one of us, He knows us. How special is that? He knows us. There's a predestined master plan for each of us that He created for each and every one of us to glorify Him, to bring others to His glory, to bring them into the kingdom so that they too can have everlasting life. He's a good shepherd.
Amen.
Moving to John 10, 4 through 5. When he has brought us out all on his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Underline voice. They know. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You know when you're unevenly yoked. Inherently, you know it in your spirit. You know when you're being led astray. You know when you're doing things, when you're saying things, when you're acting out, when you're speaking out. And you know as soon as you say it, there's that spirit man inside you that says, whoa. I'm weeping for you. I'm weeping for you. There's matriarchs and patriarchs that have poured into your life. You're not honoring them. They weep for you. We know that Jesus tends to us, his flock. He brings us comfort. He brings us peace, even in the dead of the night. He comes and manifests himself in our dreams. I'm here to charge you today. We have been experiencing just revelation after revelation after revelation as a church body. And I have dreams of revivals happening in our community and outreach. And those that are on the fence, and those that are lost, and those that are redeclaring and redefining and finding purpose within Christ in their lives again, to come to our church as a beacon in this community so that they can not only find peace, but find that agape love that only God can provide. But we are charged to be pastors in that accord. Just as Jesus is charged to be our protector, just as Jesus is charged to be our teacher, just as Jesus is charged with when the wolves come, he keeps them bait at the door. He is the shepherd. He is the gate. He is the gatekeeper. He is all. We the sheep know his voice. You know this whenever you're in the Word. You know this whenever you're in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know this whenever you're using your gifts of the Spirit. You know this whenever you humble yourself and you bring your burdens, all those mully grubs, to Him and say, Lord, I know this is not of you, by you, or for you. I'm giving it over. Use me. Use me to overcome these burdens. Use me to bear witness. Use me to pronounce and glorify your name over these things that are worldly, over these things that turn to dust, over these things that are dead in a fallen world. We will not follow a stranger. We know his voice. We're going to come back to that. Moving on, John 10, 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture, peace, rest. If you're not finding peace and rest right now in your life, I'm going to share something with you. There's this amazing book that was created over 2,000 years ago that when you open it and you read the living word of Christ that pours into you, you experience peace, you experience a deeper understanding, and you are charged again with the plight of Christ. This also carries over into our prayer. This also carries over into our prayer groups, our cell groups, our Bible studies, our evangelism and our outreach. When you are living it, when you are invested in the Word, it speaks through you like a sweet, sweet honey. It's contagious. Others want to know what it's about. Others want to know, hey, what is that? What is that special stuff? Where can I go get that at? Can we bottle that stuff up? Hey, I got something better for you. Here's a Bible. I've got something better for you. We've got a great Bible study at 9 o'clock on Sundays, followed up by church service at 10:29. We've got some activities during the week. We've got prayer groups. Is there anything we can be praying for you, your family, your friends, your significant other? Is there anything that you feel like specifically you need healing over? We've got a Bible study on Wednesday nights. If you can't make the Sunday mornings, we'd love to have you. We're growing leaps and bounds as a church, brethren. We're linked up in the arms like a shield of armor. There's no chink. There's only victory in Jesus. Moving on to 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Listen to this. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand, this is a greater metaphor for where the biggest struggle is within the church right now. It's Old Testament, man-made religion, keeping up with the Joneses in a fallen world where this is what it's supposed to look like. If I'm strong within my man-made concepts of what I think spirituality is supposed to be, my man-made concepts of what I think success is supposed to look like, my man-made ideology of this is what makes me successful versus what true inherent faith in the Good Shepherd as a prophet mandates to us. Are you called to be martyrs? No. Are you called to be paupers? No. Are you called to give the first of your fruits and do it in a way in which is exciting and exhilarating, knowing that we're growing the kingdom of God, knowing that lives are being touched, and that the good word is being preached in areas that have never known it? We know that for a fact. It's one of the seven seals, folks. It's got to happen. If you believe in the good word, if you believe that Christ died for your sins and that you are saved whenever you accept Him in your heart and you've been cleansed in the blood and that you've been born anew, guess what? There's a ladder to all that. It's called eternal life. There's some things that happen between point A and point B. Our charge is to get as many as we can there with us. On our knees at His throne in that trophy room. He's a good, good Father. Moving on to 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He didn't have to do this. But he was tasked with this because he knew that it was going to take his death to cleanse us of our sins in a fallen world so that we may have the opportunity to come to know Him and love life as opposed to old ideas, old ideology, old mandates, slavery, bondage, fear, as opposed to a zealous God that loves you, is for you, is always there. Even when you are in the darkest of hours, even when you are sitting in your office having the molly grubs over something that's supposed to come, that something's supposed to be, that it's supposed to be like this, that it's supposed to be a positive start to something very special. Well, guess what? It's not always that way. And just because it's not right now doesn't mean it's not going to be in the future. We know the end game. We know the end game. It's right there in that historical document that's never been disproven. In the entire trek of Jesus Christ, in the entire trek of the separation of church and state, the entire trek of religion and man-made ideology, and the old way of doing things, and the old doctrine versus what we've been called to do today as believers. As believers. Amen. 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. He wasn't taxed with this. This wasn't something that was declared. It was something that was freely given. It was freely purchased for you and for me and for all of us. Believers and unbelievers alike. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. The command I receive from my whom? My Father. Gets me. Gets me every time I read it. Looking at 15. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Authority to lay down my life and take it up in my own accord. That is true agape love. That is only love that the Father can provide. Only love for life abundant through Him. Claiming authority over circumstances and/or trials in life is to open your heart to Jesus and receive comfort and healing. Animosity, jealousy, hate, sins of the Father, bondage, slavery, depression and anxiety. All these things are of the enemy. All these things are of the world, a fallen world. A fallen world that's still rooted in the bondage of old. A fallen world that tells you that these customs, these traditions, these man-made concepts are what you have to do on a 24/7 basis if you want to remain righteous. If you want to remain righteous, continue having that love-life relationship and allowing Him to manifest Himself in your life through the Word, through prayer, through your relationships with other Christians, with other believers, by doing outreach, by being in missions. And you don't have to go to another continent to do that. It's right there in your own backyard. We've got folks from all over the HEB area that come and use our facilities on a daily basis. I charge you pews. We have the perfect opportunity to grow our church, to grow love life, to grow relationships, to not be a church that is set in the old ways, but be a church that is set under the new covenant, doing the one thing that we have been tasked to do for Christ, and that is to preach the gospel and be vessels of Christ's likeness and to grow the kingdom. This is comparative to the Jews and John who wanted to stone Jesus and called him blasphemous for claiming that he was the Son of God. Guess what? We're all sons and daughters too. And under the new covenant, we, through the supernatural, Jesus, have the ability to see signs and wonders. We have the ability to see healing done and complete with the authority of our shepherd. Just like we saw in the good book, there's three different occasions where through the power of the blood, you saw great men as well as the Son of God raised from the dead. That power is still here. We know that power is still here because it went from a mark of the covenant to a blood covenant. There was still a circumcision that was there through the blood covenant of Christ for each and every one of us. And with that circumcision of the blood of Christ that took place, the Holy Spirit was released whenever He rose from the dead. And through that, we have the power to see the supernatural done. We have the power to declare those things to manifest themselves in our walk, in our lives, in our family, in our church, in our outreach, in our mission, in our community. And we can do it in a powerful way. Where two or three or more are gathered, He is there. And where two or three or more agree, so it shall be done. But I charge the pews today with it. Look around you. We have opportunities that are sitting all across this room right now. Opportunities for abundant living and abundant life. So when someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, what is it? What do you got? What's that stuff in the bottle? Can we market that?" Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can absolutely do that. And provide the dialogue. And provide the platform. And provide the opportunity for the conversation. Because if you read in John, where you had, you know, these Judaizers and these Pharisees that were saying, "Well, it's blasphemous to be the Son of God." Jesus said, "We are all made in His image. And in His image, we are all God's." So I know we have the authority to do it. And there were some Jews and Judaizers and Pharisees that saw the miraculous signs. They saw the wonders. And there was that little bitty doubt factor that we've been preaching on here as of late. That little bitty doubt factor. Whenever that Holy Spirit comes over to you, whenever that baptism of the Spirit finds itself in you presently, do you choose to act? Doesn't the blind man now see? It's an opportunity. You can't be lukewarm as a believer. You can't put Jesus in a box. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It can't be defined. It's everlasting. It's all-knowing. It is all. I am the great I am. El Shaddai. Those that choose to remain in bondage in the man-made concept of religion and legalism under Mosaic law, they choose not to believe in miraculous signs and wonders. They choose not to hear the shepherd's voice. I feel this. I hear this. But are you really speaking to me? I did that for a long time in my life. God, I hear you. I feel that you're leading me. But, you know, if you really want this to happen in the next 30 seconds, let me see a star shoot across the sky. Are you convicted about your convictions? Is your love life strong enough to say, "Lord, I hear you loud and clear, let's do this"? And roll up your sleeves and say, "Let's go to work," knowing that it might not be tomorrow, it might not be next week, next month, it might be years from now. In fact, it might not even be in your lifetime. But mustard seeds were planted. We are His sheep of His fold, and He tends to us. He knows us each by name and has a predestined master plan for all of us. We are to seek His voice. Moving on to Colossians 2. Still in the NIV. Spiritual fullness in Christ. Verse 6. So then, just as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Wow, that really relates, doesn't it? Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness. Pastor Tim has been talking about Thanksgiving, right? It's very poignant for the time that we're in as of right now. What are you truly thankful for? And if you're really thankful for it, thank others with it. Verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through the hollow and deceptive philosophy which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. Verse 8 sounds a lot like the hired hand, doesn't it? So when you start seeing these things over and over again in your studies, when you start seeing the Lord speak to you over and over again, whenever you might have some struggles, you might have a case of the moly grubs, and you're saying, well, Lord, you know, are you really speaking to me? Is this really for me? Or is this something I'm supposed to apply and then also share? All the above. Verse 9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Underline fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Why do we even have the hang-up? Why do we even have the hang-up of the way it was? Why do we even have the hang-up of the times of old? Why is that even a consideration? Our charge is pressed under the new covenant. Our charge is pressed under the gospel of Christ. Our charge, church body, is to share Jesus without fear. To share Jesus no matter what. To share Jesus when you know who you might be sharing it with might not be receptive. It might not be an easy conversation. It might be in a place where, you know, you might have a lot of others that might judge you and might separate themselves from you and might, honestly, accost you because of it. Well, if we're a mirror image of God, we're a mirror image of Christ, aren't we? What's Christ charged with? To be the shepherd. What happens in the hard times to the shepherd? Does he run and flee like the hired hand? Does he not press situations that are difficult? Does he not press situations that aren't necessarily characteristic for, you know, being able to evangelize and share the gospel? We're tasked with putting in the time. We have eternity. We have eternity to answer everything else. Verse 12. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working God who raised Him from the dead. 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive in whom? Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the what? The cross. It's about the cross, folks. When you start doubting, when you start having hard conversations, when you start having situations in your life, well, you start feeling like, Lord, is it going to get any better? Yeah. Yes, it is, and it has, and it will. Because you know what your predestined master plan ends with. Fifteen. And having disarmed the powers within authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the what? The cross. It comes back to the cross every time. If you want the authority over those that are going to ridicule, that are going to spoil, that are going to try to fester, that are going to try to replace some type of man-made existence of religion in place of faith, in faith alone, in faith inherent, in something that's fervent and growing and in supernatural. And we know that we've been charged to grow within it, for it, by it, and with the kingdom itself. I'm pushing all my chips in. Freedom from human regulations through life with Christ. Out with the old and in with the new. It's about blood covenant. It's about cross. It's about the supernatural. It's about resurrection. Saw it three times. Three times in Scripture. Three times in the good word. Paul, latter Saul, went and visited the third heaven. Had a great conversation with two very important men of God. John the Baptist and Moses. Second time it happened was with Lazarus. Okay? When Jesus had returned from his great tract, there was 2 days that had passed. He come to the burial of Lazarus. Mary and Martha were concerned after a very short conversation with Martha. Martha assured Mary, the teacher has come. The doubt is dispelled. There is only total and complete belief. It's about simple, childlike faith. A woman that washed Jesus' feet with her hair and with perfume. She might not have had anything powerful to say, but gosh, her actions spoke words that resonate still today. It's about Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. If there's nothing you have taken from today, and what God is speaking directly to our church, I want you to listen to this because this is on my heart. This is our moral compass from which we are going out into our community from today and speaking His good word. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may thoroughly be equipped for every good work. I want you to put like 6 gold stars around every. Because let me tell you something. This really humbled me in preparation this week. This is accountability. This is servanthood. This is being a good steward of your time. This is being tasked with the charge that is the declaration from which we are believers. Within our total and complete authority within Christ. There's 2 things that he asked from the old mandate. 1, keep the Sabbath holy. We're doing it. 2, give the first of your fruits. Give the first of your fruits. It's not always monetary. So when you start having a bad case of the moldy grubs, like Pastor Tim would say, those fruits of the Spirit, check them. Those gifts that have only been created just for you. That predestined master plan that only has you in mind. Wow, how powerful. Lord, convict me. Convict me. Continue to convict me. You convict me in the blood, convict me in your word, convict me in your prayer. Convict me with tasking me with the charge of growing your kingdom. convict me, even when things are great and we're growing and we're having huge revivals here at this church and this community, to continue to allow us to be tasked with further growing your gospel. And we allow that opportunity to happen by doing what? By hearing and by seeing. Matthew 10, 1 through 8. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Listen to this. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Underline it. That's it. That's our charge. As we have received under the blood of Christ, freely we will continue to give and grow His kingdom and be vessels for His glory. We are called to be vessels for the gospel in all things. We are called to live in Christ's likeness. We are called to have love life with Him. We are called to have rest and meditate in the Word. We are called to lay our burdens at His feet and take rest. We are called to come to Him in prayer. We are called to be His sheep, hear His voice, and to follow our shepherd. We are called to give unto Him everything. All. Prophetically, let us all set our hearts and minds on the throne zone. Let us all have Jesus on our face. Let us all have a sensitive spirit when He moves among us and over us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let us all have revelation within the Spirit on our own accord and with one another that deepens our understanding and sweetens our love life with Him. Are we exercising our fruits? Are we in touch with our spirit man? Do we act when we are led to say or do? Now is the time for revelation and abundant life. Now is the time for thanksgiving to receive. Now is the time to praise unconditionally and unapologetically. Now is the time for the pews to lead. In reflection, Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the watchman. Jesus is the gate. And as we saw with Lazarus, Jesus is the teacher. If you put your life in the hands of the hired hand, religion, world, flesh, your death is imminent and swift. Rejoice. Sing of salvation and eternity with the Father. Praise God. God bless you. God bless our church. God bless our pastoral staff. God bless Pastor Tim and the First Lady who are leading the charge in our community and has continued to continue the track of Christ abroad today down in the greater Houston area. We ask for prayers over them. We ask for prayers over the pastoral staff and team at First Baptist Barnum, specifically Pastor Wolf and his wife Gretchen, who just had a liver transplant yesterday. And their two twins, they're both 8 years old. That's who Pastor Tim and the First Lady are filling in for today. Our faith is provisioned by His grace. I leave you with being able to not only hear His voice, but also His word from which I bring you today, as well as application. Take it out. Preach it in all corners. Let's bring them to the throne zone. Let's bring them to the kingdom. Let's allow them to experience love life in a powerful way. Be blessed.